Hello, everyone, and welcome back to eMoney's Knowledge Base podcast. My name is Brett Tharp, and I'm back in the saddle here today as I sit down with Josh Belfiore, eMoney's manager of Root Products, as we discuss our 2025 roadmap and specifically talk about how users can look to elevate their business in the new year with eMoney. Josh will share several great perspectives on recent product updates, how we leverage product feedback, and overall what to expect from eMoney as we continue to evolve our application. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, Josh. Thanks for joining the podcast today. It's great to have you back. But for those who haven't had the opportunity to hear from you in the past, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role as manager of group products here at eMoney?
Hey, Brett. Yeah, good to be on. Thanks for having me back. For those that don't know me, I am the group product manager for advisor experience at eMoney, which means that I'm basically just responsible for the future vision and the roadmap for our advisor experience. So think of our advanced planning solutions, foundational planning, various tools and calculators. So what we do, when we do it, what that vision is that we're driving towards falls under my responsibility set. I've been at eMoney about 6.5 years or so. Prior to eMoney, I was myself a financial advisor for about 8 years or so. Also very interested in what the experiences and the problems with those experiences that advisors face were, which ultimately led me to grow an obsession around solving those problems. And that led me to eMoney. Really important, really exciting work that we do here.
Thank you for the intro. Do you mind giving us or our listeners a quick recap of some of the more impactful features that eMoney released last year in 2024?
Yeah, so 2024 was a really important year for eMoney for a number of reasons. I think for those that are paying attention, it probably comes as no surprise that our investment in Decision Center has continued at full steam. eMoney is a big tool, right? Lots of different workspaces, lots of different capabilities. Decision Center in particular happens to excel at a number of things, but one is allowing advisors to basically build plans in a way that gives them immediate real-time feedback on the impacts of their decisions. And it also is really good for collaboration or interactive planning engagements with clients. So we've made a number of enhancements to Decision Center and elsewhere. Some of those enhancements are things that our users see directly. So think of those just like specific feature releases going out the door. And some of the work has been kind of groundwork laying stuff to set us up for future feature development. But to your question specifically, we often move through a number of what we call value streams at once. So think of value streams as like types of features. One example might be new reports coming into Decision Center, because as we do that, that means more and more of an advisor's planning can be done in Decision Center. We've also brought new solvers into Decision Center, helping users arrive at answers more quickly than they otherwise could by manually guessing and checking. We've also released a number of very popular user requests. For example, a top 10 user request we'd get is supporting additional account types that eMoney could not previously support. We released support for simple IRAs. We now allow support for more of the characteristics of indexed annuities. So think of those caps, floors, buffers associated with those types of products. So a number of fronts, whether it's new reporting, whether it's solvers or popular user requests. There was a lot of that happening in 2024, but also we'll come back to this later, but the groundwork laying stuff, Brett, the stuff that our users are not seeing in 2024, but will see the fruits of in 2025.
I know firsthand in my role in a training capacity, working with a lot of the new enhancements, specifically in Decision Center, it's been great hearing the feedback and being able to demonstrate all these different views. And as you're saying, very exciting time because, like you said, we're laying the groundwork and we are hoping to really expand on some things in the next year. So let's talk about a little bit more of that. So just maybe more in general, how can e-money help advisors elevate their financial planning business? In other words, how can they use e-money to take things to the next level in 2025?
Yeah, good question. Also really big question. So let me take this in a couple of different parts. So first, when it comes to financial planning used to, at some point in the past, be a lot about an advisor presenting at a client. And it is increasingly becoming important to collaborate or participate with a client in building their plan. It's ultimately their lives that are being impacted here by what is done. And so to the extent they are interested in being involved, empowering them to be involved is really important, right? So think of if you were going to build your dream home, you would likely, as the homeowner, be involved with decisions like, if we go with these floors, we might have to sacrifice this kitchen or vice versa. So same is true in financial planning. So if we can build experiences that allow clients to be more involved in the process, they're better able to connect the dots between the things that are happening, the financial decisions being made, and how that links back to the things that are personally meaningful to them. And that sets up good things to come. That builds trust between advisor and client, that helps alleviate issues that might surface when markets get rough, that we are making the right decisions for the goals that are important to me. So that's kind of how I think about things. Thing one, bringing clients in to be participants in the process. Thing two, planning takes a really long time to do. It can take a long time to do depending on the client situation. And it requires some level of expertise to be able to do it. So you might have an advisor who recognizes planning brings value, but is not a subject matter expert. So that advisor may struggle a little bit to do planning for their clients. So that's where a number of our investments come into play. First off, we are investing in a lot of features that help make the planning experience a lot quicker for those that maybe do consider themselves to be or are considered to be planning subject matter experts. Whether it's handling common actions more directly to streamline the ability to do those things, whether it's pulling together lots of workspaces into one to eliminate the need for advisors that they'll hop around between different workspaces to do one job. So compressing time to plan is really big for us so that advisors can still do the same quality job. But we're also investing in those simpler, easier planning experiences. So think of foundational planning or needs analysis, those topical calculators. Those are intended to be experiences that let those users do planning, but very quickly in a very targeted way, helping to work planning in a way that isn't so cumbersome. And then my final point here, I'll make it a quick point, is we're also investing heavily in evolving the tool from what is basically a sophisticated calculator into a truly intelligent tech partner to users, shifting the burden of doing many planning related activities off of a human shoulders onto technology shoulders, further compressing time to plan without sacrificing quality of that planning, freeing advisors more and more to spend time on those revenue generating activities. So that's how we can elevate their businesses, help them elevate their businesses by allowing them to do more planning, better planning in a much compressed amount of time and focus on those revenue generating activities.
Spot on, right? That was a big question and a fantastic answer. Yeah, my takeaways there, right? Like you said, incorporating time efficiencies, trying to make things simpler, but not sacrificing too much capability, you know, so you can still get into some more complex topics and themes when needed. And yeah, just continuously looking to evolve, take advantage of the technology breakthroughs that we're having and incorporate them, you know, just to improve the advisor and then ultimately the end client's experience. So that is fantastic. Well, we need to understand where to take the tool, the future. And obviously, we ask for and try to get as much feedback from our users as possible. And I wanted to see if maybe you had any particular feedback that you've heard from users regarding some of the 2024 enhancements, specifically in the Decision Center.
A top level comment here is they want more of it. I think the common theme running through a lot of the conversations that we have with clients, wherever those clients are, whether they're large enterprises, whether they're individual advisors, is helping them scale. The feedback is we need more and more to help us scale planning. To do so, importantly, without stripping away functionality just to make it easier. So we're simultaneously trying to push the envelope on what's possible, giving them more and more capabilities while making it easier to leverage. I'm going to always go back to that compressing time to plan comment. So scale is what we are hearing people want. What we've done in 2024 is steps towards helping planning scale. And so the request is really for more and more of those same themes. So for example, we've got 200 plus reports in the reports area of our advanced planning experience. We've got 20 something reports in Decision Center. Popular reports for sure, but our users still have to hop between those workspaces depending on what content they want to look at. So more and more content coming into Decision Center allows users to remain stationary in Decision Center. Everything they need comes to them as opposed to forcing them to have to hop between different experiences. So continuation of the value streams that have been in flight is what we're getting a lot of good feedback on, and scale. Help users scale is the feedback.
Can you maybe just speak to maybe the decision process involved in just incorporating feedback into the tool?
Yeah, another good question here. We gather feedback in a number of ways, and we assess that feedback in a number of ways as well. So there's a couple, let me speak first to the couple of channels that common channels that exist for intaking feedback. One is embedded within the app itself, the request a feature area of the tool. This is where our users can go in, they can type out what they're requesting, or they can upvote existing requests. And we do see that. There's an enormous volume of that feedback. For example, tens of thousands of requests that we get. So obviously it is impossible for us to be acting on every request that we get. One of the things that we pay attention to is what are those most popular requests that we get? So it's very easy for us to sort, for example, by votes on a particular topic. But then the next thing that we're assessing is what it would take if even feasible, for us to be building out some of these requests. So for example, the number one most requested feature might take us 10 times longer to build than the number two or three most popular user requests. We can get a lot of value out the door by addressing those number two and three requests before that number one request. So cost of implementing is something that we consider, not just how do we get value to users quicker? Not just, for example, the number of votes that we and our users see in that request a feature area. The other channel of feedback we get besides the in-app is engaging directly with our clients. We do, we have a number of conversations with clients all the time. Whether those clients are, again, large enterprises or individual advisors, understanding what their pain points are, documenting all of that, and going through the same process to understand what it might take to implement and release that value to users and how common that pain point is, right? So if something is super common as opposed to very niche, that may factor in. But the other thing that's really important that I want to stress here for how we incorporate feedback is when it comes to the things we are already planning to do. So our roadmap, for example, we know we want to, let's say, rebuild our foundational planning experience, something that's in flight right now. We're working directly with advisors, people who are using the product, in order to incorporate their feedback real time in our development process. It's a feature for them, right? Like, you and I aren't the users of these tools. We work at eMoney for the benefit of our users. So pulling them in to the process is really important to us. That's how we ship good features that are intuitive from the user's perspective. So a range of ways, Brett, that we gather feedback, incorporate feedback, pull users into the process.
A lot goes into decisions, but it's a great thing to have our user's voice captured and weighing into the calculation. I want to be respectful of your time. I know you're a busy guy, but I'd like to give our listeners here a little sneak peek, or maybe some things that we're looking to focus on in 2025. I know you've already mentioned a couple things, right, with making things more scalable, focusing on an experience that can be simplified or nuanced as needed, and kind of looking at the workflow. But maybe for the planning capabilities and decision center, anything else that listeners can expect to see in 2025?
2025, and this is going to sound super hyperbolic, but it is, I don't think, an exaggeration to say that 2025 will likely be one of the biggest years for eMoney, just in terms of enhancing or reshaping major experiences for our users. So for example, I mentioned a few times so far, but we are overhauling our entire foundational planning experience. So literally rebuilding that in a way that allows users to get from A to Z in an expedited, far more intuitive way than is possible today. So that's an enormous enhancement that's going to be going out the door in 2025. We're also completely overhauling our needs analysis experiences. So those light topical analyses where you can say, I want to do an analysis just on retirement or just on education, et cetera. Limited data inputs get you a very quick output and options for what your client can be doing to improve their situation. So that's another total overhaul. We are also rebuilding Goal Planner completely. So our users will see a revamped Goal Planner go out in 2025 that also allows for the more streamlined analysis of multiple scenarios against each other. The other thing that we're doing is continuing those efforts, I mentioned this a few times as well, of consolidating all of our content and functionality from different workspaces into Decision Center. So you will see Decision Center continue to grow, not just from a reporting perspective, but also from what's possible inside Decision Center. For example, right now, our users, to create different actions, or as we call in the tool, techniques, they often have to go into the advanced planning tool to create those actions and then come back into Decision Center. You can still create some of those from Decision Center, those basic techniques, but often we know users are going back and forth between Decision Center and the advanced planning tool. So bringing that advanced planning tool functionality right into Decision Center as well, to enable users to create any hypothetical they want without having to leave that workspace. That's a really important thing that our users will start to see in 2025. The final point I want to make here, the cherry on top of all of this, is about evolving our tool from sophisticated calculator into a truly intelligent tech partner. So what that means is we are making investment in our insights area in Decision Center. So today in that area, there's a couple of single variable solvers and optimizers. So when's the earliest my client can retire? How much extra does my client need to save? What's their life insurance gap, et cetera? So you click a button, you get one answer to one question. The evolution our users are going to see on that front is from single variable to multivariable, holistic, where you click a button and the tool is analyzing the entire client situation to create a set of system-generated techniques designed to achieve the client's goals to whatever probability of success the user wants. So the time it would normally take an advisor to do that manually, to figure out what the right plan of action is for the client, can now be done with the click of a button and a 10 to 20 second load time to get those answers. We're building out a range of functionality as well that helps the user influence what those system outputs are. But the point here being that evolution from calculator to intelligent tech partner. I mentioned earlier compressing time to plan. Yes, that is true. But I think this is going to be a real pivot point in how we start to see financial planning experiences look and feel to users, where they are today designed for manual analysis and development of actions, to one that is a lot more intelligent, a lot more supportive of advisors. So a lot of exciting things coming through 2025 for sure.
Super excited just hearing this from you. I know personally I focus a little bit more on, you know, the advanced application. So I spend a lot more time in the Decision Center taking advantage of some of the solvers and optimizers like you talked about. So I'm personally looking forward to a lot of that, but I can't lie, I'm also very much looking forward to the needs analysis revamp, as well as the continued investment in our other planning tools, like you said, foundational planning, the goal planner. So all this is just music to my ears, and I'm sure music to our users' ears as well. I could probably ask you a bunch more questions, Josh, but again, I know your time is valuable, and I wanted to wrap things up here. But with all of that said, just really appreciate you giving us your time, your perspective, and just the insights that are so valuable that I know our users are going to benefit just knowing where the system, the tools are going to be going in the future and in 2025. So just really want to say again, thank you for helping everyone talk about money, which is eMoney's overall mission statement, but specifically giving us these insights to help advisors just continue to elevate their business today and into the future. So thanks again, Josh.
Thanks for having me on, Brett.
And there you have it, folks. As Josh explained, there is a lot to be excited about at eMoney and the direction that our software is going. I really do hope that you found today's conversation insightful and has you eager to see what eMoney has in store for 2025. So with all of that said, this is Brett Tharp signing off for now, and I just want to say thank you again for giving us your time, and I look forward to another incredible year here at eMoney. Take care, everyone.